Maud Young speaking, a member of the Women's Army Corps assigned to the Air Forces. And although I'm 47 years old and a grandmother in the bargain, I'm a truck driver in the motor pool at an Army air base. I haven't been in the Army long, just a few months, I'm sorry to say. And I'm sorrier to say that it took a somewhat tragic circumstance to make me realize that I should have joined the Women's Army Corps when it was first organized. As a matter of fact, if I had enlisted a long time ago, maybe the tragic circumstance wouldn't have occurred at all. I was living in San Francisco in the fashionable section, of course, because I was a fashionable woman and a rich one. I had three servants, Higgins the butler, Jackson the chauffeur, and Hattie the cook. Mr. Young, my husband, had long since died, and my son William, my beloved son, was a fighter pilot stationed somewhere in Italy. It was January the 3rd, I remember, about mid-morning. I was sitting in the sunroom writing a paper on Shakespeare, which I was to deliver to the Shakespearean Society the following Thursday. I remember I was saying to myself, I wonder if I can cover Hamlet, King Richard III, and Much Ado About Nothing in an hour and a half.
I beg pardon, madam.
Maybe I ought to just try Hamlet, King Richard, and 10 of the sonnets.
Beg pardon, madam.
Or maybe Hamlet, King Richard, and 20 sonnets.
Beg pardon, madam.
What do you want, Higgins? What do you want?
Madam,
you come creeping into a room and mumble into your beard as if you were deathly afraid of being heard. What is it?
Mrs. Natalie Young is here, madam.
Tell her I'm not at home.
If I may say so, madam.
And stop calling me madam. For 25 years you've called me madam, and for 25 years I've been hating it. Now I'm beginning to get mad.
If I may say so, Mrs. Young.
That's better.
Mr. William's wife is most anxious to see you.
When my son married that girl, I swore I'd never speak to her. And I have no intention of changing my mind.
But, madam.
Tell her I'm not at home.
Please, Mother Young. Please.
Higgins, show the young woman out.
It's most important, Mother Young. It's about Bill.
You may go, Higgins.
Yes, Mrs. Young.
I'll tell you straight away that if you've come to me for sympathy or help because you're going to have a child, you've come to the wrong place. I'll explain my stand to William.
Please, it's not that. It's not that at all.
When do you expect the baby?
In about 2 months. But it's something else.
I hope now you realize how foolish you were to marry William just before he went overseas. And what a ridiculous situation you now find yourself in with a child coming and him so far away.
Bill and I were happy. Even if it was for a short time. And now, especially, I'm glad I'm going to have his child.
What do you mean, now especially?
Here. This came this morning.
War Department regrets to inform you. No. Not my son.
I'm sorry, Mother Young. Higgins! Higgins!
Yes, madam.
William is missing in action. Help me to my room.
Yes.
Well, I stayed in bed for a week. As grief-stricken as any mother is when she gets news that her son is missing in action. As I lay there in bed, I thought about him. About what a fine young man he was, and how I had lived my whole life for him. And I began to hate the war for taking him from me. I began to hate the government for putting him in uniform. I said these things out loud in front of Higgins. And so on the afternoon of the seventh day that I'd been in bed, Higgins knocked on my bedroom door with rather more determination. Who is it?
It's Higgins, madam.
I don't want to see you, Higgins, or anybody else.
I'm sorry to disturb you, madam.
Don't call me madam.
I'm sorry to disturb you, Mrs. Young, but it's most important.
It's not important to me.
You're the only one to whom it is important, if I may say so.
You may not.
I'm going to presume on my 25 years of service to you, Mrs. Young, and ask you to listen to a letter.
I'm not interested in your personal correspondence.
Permit me to say, madam, this is a piece of my personal correspondence which you will find most interesting.
Higgins, you're no longer in my employ.
I shall hand in my resignation as soon as I've read this letter.
Higgins, leave this room at once. At once.
The letter begins, "Dear Higgins, I am going to presume on an old friendship, which is, I hope, as dear to you as it is to me. As a matter of fact, since I don't remember my father, it's not totally out of place for me to remember you, much as other boys remember their dads.
William.
For your thoughtfulness and concern over me during my growing years is one of my fondest memories. I want you to keep this letter, and if it should ever be necessary for the War Department to notify my mother...
They didn't notify me. They notified that girl.
And she in turn notified you, madam. It's the same thing.
It is not the same thing.
If it should be necessary for the War Department to notify my mother that I have been lost in action, I want you to watch over her very carefully.
So that's why you've been in and out of this room so often.
That and my own personal concern, madam.
Don't call me madam.
Shall I go on?
Of course, you ninny.
If mother seems to be taking the news of my misfortune badly, if she seems to be attaching too much importance to it, I want you to read her this letter.
Give me that letter, Higgins.
Mr. William continues, don't let her have it to read to herself, because she'll skip over the important parts.
I will not.
And I know you'll read it so that the important parts will stick in her memory. I hope to justify Mr. William's faith in me, madam.
You'll try, that's sure.
I want mother to understand that death is not the most important thing in the world. That to die requires practically no courage, whatever. The means of death is more often than not involuntary and thrust upon one. But to live, that requires immense personal courage and fortitude. I've underlined that sentence, madam.
Yes, Higgins, that's important.
I've always wanted mother to be more personally concerned with prosecuting the war. She's shown so little interest in it. I've always wanted her, as long as we're at war, to live the life of a person actively engaged in the conflict, rather than the life of a bystander, for believe me, none of us can afford to be a bystander now. I've underlined that sentence too, madam.
Yes, Higgins.
Once mother understands that, her rich background of personal strength will give rise to the courage to live and subsequently to fight. If I should fall in the ranks, it would please me enormously to think that my mother, fearless and determined, would step forth to take my case. I should be happy to know that my mother helped wash the maggots from the wounds of a world into which her grandson was to be born. God bless you all, Bill.
Leave me, Higgins. I want to get up and get dressed and think. Well, I thought all right. I thought the rest of that afternoon and all night long, and it was in the stillness of the early morning that I decided what to do. Then I slept for a couple of hours, and at 8 o'clock in the morning, I called Higgins and Jackson, the chauffeur, into the library. Both of them are curious, naturally, and I took little time in coming to the point. Well, Higgins, you'll probably be immensely pleased and happy to know that the letter did the trick.
It was Mr. William's wish, madam.
Don't call me madam. Jackson.
Yes, Mrs. Young.
How old are you?
43, Mrs. Young.
A widower, I believe?
That's right, Mrs. Young.
No dependents, as I remember?
Well, not really, Mrs. Young. I give my niece Ellie about $20 a month to help her through school.
I see. Bought any war bonds?
Some.
Mm-hmm. Higgins, how old are you?
45, madam.
No dependents?
My brother, Edgar.
I know your brother, Edgar. A shiftless good-for-nothing. Would go to work if you didn't give him money all the time.
Edgar has a chronic intestinal condition.
Mm-hmm. He certainly has. He constantly wants to digest free food.
Oh, really, Mrs. Young?
How many war bonds have you bought?
Several.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's examine me.
But, Mrs. Young...
Oh, yes, Jackson. I'm a rich woman, and this morning I acquired two dependents outside of you.
Whom, if I may ask, madam?
My daughter, Natalie, and my unborn grandson, or granddaughter, as the case may be. I'm going to settle a lump sum on them so they don't have any trouble.
That makes me very happy, Mrs. Young.
Oddly enough, it makes me happy too, Higgins. It really does. Now, what have I done to help the war?
You've bought bonds, madam.
But did I strain to buy them? Did it pinch me anywhere to buy them? No. I could have bought three times as many without it hurting me in the least. Not only that, what's been my attitude toward the war? You tell me.
Madam, I...
Go on, tell me. Be ruthless.
Well, Mrs. Young, I...
What was it I said about Hitler and Tojo?
Well, you... I don't really remember.
Stop lying, Higgins. What did I say, Jackson?
Well, You said that the war was a lot of nonsense, and if you had Hitler and Tojo here, you'd knock their heads together.
That's right. But I wasn't being very practical, was I?
Well, Hitler and Tojo aren't here, if that's what you mean, Mrs. Young.
That's what I mean, Jackson. And the upshot of the whole thing is that the three of us have been content to be bystanders in this war. We haven't had the courage to live.
But Mrs. Young...
Three of us in this house who are strong, able-bodied, and reasonably intelligent human beings. We have done nothing active to bring this war to a successful conclusion. And believe me, my friends, this morning we're going to change that situation. And by doing so, we may make it possible for some boy to return to his mother, his wife, and his child before the enemy has had a chance to kill him. If I'd done this a year ago, maybe William would be coming home now.
Mm. What are we to do, madam?
I'm going to join the Women's Army Corps. My son has fallen in the ranks, and I'm stepping forward to take his place.
But, Mrs. Young, you're too...
Too old? The age limit is 49. I'm 47. You two men have a choice. Either get into vital war work or ask for voluntary induction. Which do you want, Jackson?
Well, I've always wanted to work in an aircraft factory, Mrs. Young.
Good. Go over to the plant this afternoon and get a job. They need men.
If I may bring up the question, madam, what about Hattie and the house?
Hattie is 800 years old, and I'll leave her to take care of the house. I'm turning it over to the USO.
I see.
How about you, Higgins?
I shall ask for voluntary induction, madam.
Higgins, don't call me madam. Well, that's what happened. Now I'm driving a truck, and quite frankly, I love it. I never ate better, I never slept better, and I never had more fun. As a matter of fact, the other night at the squadron party, my partner and I won the waltz contest. And I have my pin-up girl like the other soldiers. A picture of Natalie. I have a pin-up boy, too. My grandson. A real pin-up boy. And now it's time for me to go to the dispatcher's office at the motor pool to get my orders for today. Just step in with me. It'll only take a minute. Well, Sergeant, do you have my trucking orders ready for today?
Yes, madam.
For the last time, Sergeant Higgins, don't call me madam.
Well, Mom, this ends our salute to you and to all the other mothers of the men and women of our Army Air Forces. We are grateful to Miss Noreen DeMille, who played the part of Mrs. Young, and to Miss Elaine Larson, who played the part of Natalie in our dramatic sketch. The script was written and produced by Sergeant Scott Farnworth. Sergeant Hal Gibney speaking. Next week at this same time, the orchestra and chorus, under the direction of Sergeant Felix Slatkin, will again salute all the mothers of the men and women of the United States Army Air Forces. Until then, we say...
So long, Mom. I do a lot of things you really don't expect. I hope that Dad won't mind that call from Alex. But I just have to say...
This program was an official presentation of the United States Army Air Forces and came to you from Santa Ana, California. This is your program.